My dad dedicated his life to proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. Through the ongoing work of CWH, his messages continue to bring comfort and encouragement. Today in the sermon, "The King is Coming," we hear the powerful truth that Jesus will return.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. Oh, are we ever happy we can come to another weekend now and all get together all over the world. We go all over the world. By shortwave, we go to 95% of the world's population. Praise the Lord, and it's all possible because you prayed and gave and stood with us. Today, we're going to be talking about the coming again of Jesus. He's going to come, and it could be at any minute, and so we're going to look at that. But we always look at our letters first. Just share a few letters with you. You can see where people are, and then you can pray for these people. And before I give any of the letters, I want to thank everyone for sending cards and letters and little notes and everything for my 98th birthday. It's just been so wonderful. I just appreciate all of you. And by the grace of God, there I am, 98. And we're just going to go until Jesus says to come home. When he comes home, I'll gladly go home. For me to depart and be with Christ is better. And so whenever that comes, we're all ready. Well, let's look at some of the letters. First of all, well, there's from Danville, Virginia. And this lady writes, and she's got a question that a lot of people have, because I've been preaching now for 75 years, and I get this over and over. She writes, "The Christian Worship Hour is a blessing to me. I have some things heavy on my mind that I want to ask about. I trust in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to save me and to justify me. I pray every day for him to please remember me and save me from my sins, to justify me and give me eternal life. I pray that his kingdom will be shed in, because of his shed blood, I will be a part of his kingdom. Aren't," and then she puts a question, "aren't those who trust in the name saved? Aren't those who trust in the name saved? He also says if we do not take up our cross and follow him, we cannot be his disciples. My question is, if I do not go door to door and tell others about Jesus, am I still saved by simply trusting in his name?" And I want to tell you, sister, yes, 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 you are saved. Whosoever will call in the name of the Lord will be saved. And remember what Jesus said, "As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God, even to them that believe on his name." And in Romans, we're told, "To him that worketh not, but believeth." Our salvation is by faith in Jesus Christ alone, not by works of righteousness which we have done, we're told in Ephesians chapter 2. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. And so there it is, it's just as clear as a bell. You can never get to heaven by works. Now, after we accept Jesus, we want to do good works. But we never do good works to get to heaven, because Jesus did all the work when he was on the cross and he said, "It is finished, it is finished." And that meant a lot of things. It meant prophecies were finished and his work was finished and all, but it meant salvation was settled. And if we get to heaven, when we get to heaven, it's going to be because Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left the crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. And then you just ask Jesus to come into your heart, and he will never leave you, and you only have to ask him once. Here's a letter from Ankeny, Iowa. My husband had a massive stroke a year ago. He farmed and he loved it. We had a small trucking company. He loved working on the farm and loved helping the people and loves God. This has definitely made us grow closer to the Lord. It's been very hard. He's been suffering with a headache almost for a year. I've had him to doctor after doctor. Please pray for him. Thank you. We love you. And so we need to all pray for this dear brother. And see what she's writing? She says, instead of getting mad at God, they said, "We're drawn closer to the Lord." That's what troubles and trials are going to do to you. They're going to drive you away, or they're going to drive you closer to Jesus. And if you drive you, let him drive you away, where are you? You have nothing, nowhere to go. But if you draw close to him, he'll see you through, he'll help you through. Beautiful letter. We just need to pray for each other. And then here's one. Oh, yes. Kenmore, North Dakota, our friends north of us here. We greatly enjoy your services. We are happy to hear you don't plan to retire. Retirement isn't good for everyone. Many who retire seem to lose interest in everything. Pastor, keep on as long as you can, and we'll be watching, praying for you. God bless you. And so we want you to stay on working. Now, I want to say right away, I'll get some letters, and they says, well, I'm an invalid. Well, God bless you, dear souls. We know you can't get out, and I know that some of you can't get around, and some of you can't do it, but there are plenty of able-bodied Christians, and they retire at 65 or something like that, and then they sit around or they fool or waste their time when they ought to be working for the Lord, serving the Lord. They said, don't retire. You know something? Retirement isn't in the Bible. God had retirement for the priests, and they're about 40 years of age. They were to retire, but they were stay on the job and help the young priests. And what does God say about retirement? Well, here it is. Genesis 3, chapter 3, verse 19. And God told Adam, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread until you're 65, and then you can sit in the rocking chair. Oh, let's see. That isn't exactly, is it? This is what God says. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, and dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. We are to work and to serve the Lord until we go back to the dust and back to the ground. So, well, you say, well, then how come people are retiring? How'd they ever get that started? I'll tell you where retirement started from. Started from the politicians. That ought to tell you something. Well, let's get down to something here now, and let's look at about, here's the Lord Jesus coming again. Jesus Christ is coming to earth again. He ascended bodily into heaven, as you know. He's in heaven now, interceding for us. He's our advocate and our high priest before God. And when we sin, as we all do, the Lord Jesus intercedes for us before the Father in heaven, and he presents us and has his shed blood to show he's paid for all of our sins. Jesus has been doing this work now for 2,000 years, 2,100 years. And when God is ready, Jesus will come back to this earth again. We know that the return of Jesus Christ is certain for several reasons. For one reason, it is prophesied. That was the theme of the Old Testament prophets. Isaiah 7, verse 14, 742 years before Jesus Christ was born, Isaiah tells him that he's going to come a second time. Isaiah chapter 53, Psalm 22, verses 1 and 7 and 8, all talk about when the Lord Jesus is going to come again. There are many prophecies in the second coming of our Lord. And when you come to the New Testament, you find out that over and over he tells us he's going to come again. And some people take this lightly, and they scoff at it, and they laugh at it, and they said, oh, we wait all these times, and we don't see anything happening. Ha, ha, ha. And so they make fun of it, and they laugh at it. Well, they ought to take a lesson from Noah. He preached 120 years, and nobody wasn't. He had no takers except his family, his children. They all laughed it off. They were too busy with their parties, and they're living, and they're making money, and they're sinning, and and it doesn't have to be bad things. It isn't wrong to make money. It isn't wrong to eat and drink. But when you leave God out of the picture, it is totally wrong. It's always wrong. They laughed him to scorn. But when the floodwaters came and swallowed up everything in sight, they didn't laugh then. They perished. They listened to man, and they didn't listen to God. They played the part of a fool. The soul that flouts God is playing the part of a fool. Men can brag and talk and boast and make fun of the coming of the Lord, but he will come at his own appointed time. And then it holds great importance in the scripture. Jesus is coming again. We're told that in the Old Testament, one out of every 30 verses speak of the second coming of Jesus Christ. And in the New Testament, one out of every 25 verses talk about the return of the Lord Jesus. Every one mention of the first coming, the second coming is mentioned 8 times. There's great emphasis on Jesus is coming again. And so we need to be prepared. We need to be serving him, receive him as our Savior, become his child, and then be serving him when he comes again. And we can rejoice. His coming again will be a time of rejoicing for those who are ready prepared to meet him. Whole books in the Bible are written about the coming of the Lord Jesus. For instance, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, that's all about coming, Jesus coming again. Chapters of the Bible, Matthew 24, Mark 23, Luke 21, all talk about the coming of Jesus Christ. There are so many places in the Bible, and it's an emphasis on Jesus is coming again. There are many testimonies given to the second coming of Christ. Jesus said so. Jesus said in John 14, verse 3, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again." Now that ought to settle it right there. Jesus Christ said, "I'm going to come again." There shouldn't have to be any another word said. But God has just given us so much more. He's given us other emphasis, ways to emphasize it. And he talks about the angels. The angels said he's going to come again. They said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you see him taken into heaven." The apostles said that he's coming again. And so over and over we have that message. The return of Jesus Christ will be very personal then. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 says, the Lord himself is going to come back to heaven. And the angel said, this same Jesus. In Revelation 1, verse 7, it says, "Behold, he cometh with clouds. Every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him." Jesus is personally coming back to this earth again, and we ought to be prepared and we ought to be ready. Now listen carefully, dear friends. The return of Jesus Christ is going to be in two parts or two phases. And if you don't get that, if you don't understand that, it's going to be mixed up. But there's two phases. The first part is when he comes for his children, for his believers. The second phase is when he comes with the believers, with the church, with the believers in Jesus Christ. So he comes for them, and then a little later, he'll come with them to rule and to reign. We see this, for instance, he comes for the believers. That's given to us in 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 16 to 18. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we which are alive and remain, the Christians that are alive, will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. He's coming for his people, and he's going to take them out and take them into heaven for a period of time. But when you come and you read Matthew 24, 30, "Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and the tribes of the earth shall mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven and power with great glory." When he comes for his people, he will just come and take them out. When he comes with his people, the whole world is going to see him. And I tell you, my friends, we're told as plain as day in Revelation 1, verse 7, "Behold, he cometh with clouds. Every eye is going to see him. And them also which pierced him." All over the earth, we will see the Lord coming with great power and might, and he will come with his people to rule and reign for 1,000 years. That's a millennium. Well, now, you know, I remember when I started in the ministry 75 years ago, and I would preach that there, and it says, every eye will see him. Every eye will see him, and those that pierced him. All the world is going to see him. We didn't have television out where I lived. We barely had radio. We'd get a little on the radio. We didn't have television. We never heard of such a thing. And worldwide television, so that you can see the moment it happened, we never dreamed of such a thing. And the way they would say to me, I was a young pastor, 23 years old, And boy, was I green, I'm going to tell you. And they say, ha, ha, ha. It says he's going to come and everybody in the whole world's going to see him at the same time. And that is impossible. So the Bible is all false. Don't trust the Bible. Oh, I remember that. And you know what I have to tell them? I had to tell them, if God says it, he'll do it. And I leave it with the Lord. And that's exactly what we have to do. And so Jesus Christ is going to come, and he's going to come with great power. Now there will be resurrection from the dead when Jesus comes again. The first phase, you see, it tells us in 1 Thessalonians, it says that the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. But the second phase, when you read John chapter 5, 28 and 29, he says, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. They that have done good, that simply means those who have received Jesus Christ. When you read the context, you read the whole story, they're talking about those who have received Jesus and who didn't receive Jesus. And so there's two different phases. He talks about that again in John 6, 39 and 40. And so then we're going to have that resurrection. Now, the first time when Jesus comes, that first phase, all of the Christians that have died were on the martyrs and all of the rest of them going to be raised from the grave. And then those of us who are alive, we're going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And we're going to be with the Lord until we come back and rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 talks about this resurrected body. He says that the trumpet will sound and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And so in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 42, it says it's going to be sown in corruption. It is going to be raised in glory. This wonderful body that Jesus is going to give us. Verse 44, it is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. And so now we have this body, it's in the flesh, and it's going to decay. But when the Lord comes, he's going to raise those bodies up, and they're going to be bodies like the resurrected body of Jesus Christ. And it's still going to be flesh, and he still has the marks in his hands. But that body is eternal, and we're going to have the same body that the resurrected Christ had. Some people think we're going to be turned into angels. No, we're not going to leave the angels alone. That's a whole different story, a different creation. But we're going to have a body like the Lord Jesus. It's, for instance, verse 49. He says, as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. That is, as we have lived in this earthly body that's corruptible, now we're going to have a body like Jesus. It's going to be incorruptible. It's mortal, now it's going to be immortal. Just like our spirit and soul is immortal. They'll always be in heaven or hell, either one of those places. And you choose where it goes. Because if you choose Christ, you have heaven. If you reject Jesus Christ, you have the torment of hell. That's exactly what Jesus told us. He warned us over and over. Verse 51 says, we shall be changed. 53 says, this corruptible must put an incorruption. This mortal must put an immortality. And so this wonderful resurrection is going to come. And with that, there's going to be a great change. And that wonderful Lord Jesus then, we're going to be with him. And he's going to be reunion and see all of our loved ones again. And we're going to see them and know them because we're going to, you know, we'll understand and we'll know our loved ones and see our loved ones if they are in Christ. But if they haven't received Christ, oh, my friends, you don't have any hope or any help anyway. And so this wonderful resurrection is going to come. And with that will be an eternal home, and we will be with the Lord forever. And Jesus talks about that home, and he says, you know, everybody wants to have their home. You read about about the man who wrote, there's no place like home, be it ever so humble, there's no place like home. And that's exactly the way we are. It doesn't matter if we have a palace or if we've just got a little tent. That's our home, and that's where we want to be. Well, Jesus says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. He tells that in John chapter 14. And he's going to now, Jesus has got his disciples together. He's all gone to the cross. He's paid for our sins with his own blood. He's been in the grave 3 days and three nights. He's been raised from the grave. He's been there 40 days. At one time, he was seen of over 500 people at the same time. And now he's going to ascend into heaven, bodily ascend into heaven. And he's going to come back bodily out of heaven when he comes back again. But he tells his disciples, I'm going to have to leave you, but I'm going to send a comforter. I'll send the Holy Spirit to help you. He says in John 14, let not your heart be troubled. Men, don't worry. Don't worry. Don't let it be troubled. See, he says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. And I'll receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And Thomas saith, oh, dear God, yes, Jesus, we want to be with you, and we want to be in heaven. And John writes in another place that heaven is so beautiful, I can't explain it. He just got a glimpse of it. And Thomas, they call him Doubting Thomas, and he says, I don't know the way. How are we going to know the way? And Jesus says, I'll tell you the way. I'll tell you how to get to heaven. Oh, I get letters quite often. How can I be sure I'm going to heaven? Here's the answer. The Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 6, where Jesus says, and he says, I want to know the way to heaven. And Jesus says, I'm the way. I'm the way to heaven. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And then he got narrow. No man gets into heaven except by me. I am the way. The way to heaven is a person. The way to heaven is Jesus. And he says, when you come to Jesus and you receive him and you take him into your heart, you're going to have eternal life and you're going to be with him in heaven. And I hope you'll pray. Pray right now with me. Dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. And I ask you to come into my heart and wash them away and take them away. And I'll turn from the best I can. Thank you, Jesus. You just pray that and you have eternal life. So Jesus is coming again. Nobody knows when. I've been in the ministry 75 years. I can think of at least three times when they set times for Jesus to come again. And one time they went on a mountaintop, and another time they took all their money to the headquarters. I don't know what they're collecting money if they're going to leave it, but that was in the picture. Well, Jesus never came at all because he's yet to come. This is what Jesus tells us. John 24, verse 36. He tells us, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not even the angels in heaven, but my Father only. So nobody knows when God is going to come again, when Jesus is going to come again, but he's going to come just as sure as the world. And so, but you just believe what God says. You know, there's some things that God has for himself. He reveals us a lot of things in the Bible, but there's some things that great and wonderful that he hasn't revealed yet. For instance, in Deuteronomy 29, verse 29, chapter 29, verse 29, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but there are those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children. So he's revealed some of the things, but there's some of the things he hasn't revealed. And so what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to just put our faith in Jesus Christ and look at that revealed word, and it's all in the Bible. So read that Bible. Study that Bible. Pray to God every day. Get into Bible study groups. Go to a church where they're preaching the gospel, where they're preaching the word of God, and they're talking about the things of God, and God will reveal himself to you and give you strength and help. Now, if you'll do that, my dear friends, you can just remember this. You can write to us and help us in this work. We have to have you to help us because there isn't any other way we can get through this unless people help us. We're not underwritten by any organization or corporation or anything like that. It's just God's people. So you write to us at the Christian Worship Hour, and the box is 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And if you'd like to have our little Bible study, we put out a little Bible study every month, and this month is a pastor's prayer for his people. And what does the pastors pray for his people? And it's sent free and postpaid. You just write to us and ask for that. If you'd like to have our film, we have a beautiful film, 52 minutes long. It's an evangelistical film so that it'll bring people to Christ, help people accept the Lord Jesus. Many, many people have written in and said, we watched the film, we accepted Jesus. And it's called The Heart of a Shepherd. And we send this out on a free will offering basis. But if you don't have any money, you just tell us and we'll send it to you. And those of you in prison, we hear from prisoners all over the United States. And if you want this film, you ask to have the chaplain. Ask your chaplain if he'll write and get it. And he can get it and he can show it. And so we just pray that you'll do that. And then we want you to also to know that when you send a gift, we watch it very carefully. And we are a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. That's an international organization, and they audit our books every year. And so when you send a nickel, it'll be marked down for the glory of God. Now we're going to pray. And in our prayer, we always pray for the persecuted church. And so we're going to pray for the people in North Korea today. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time we've had together. And we pray now especially for all of those who are on beds of sickness and those, Lord, who may be in the hospital, others who may be lonely. We pray for the young people and we pray for the children and the persecuted church, Lord, in North Korea, the hardest place on the earth to be a Christian. And yet we know that some of them are listening to us right now because on shortwave we're all over the North and South Korea. And so bless them and encourage them and bless us all as we follow you. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, once again, that address to all our people that are shortwave, Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And just remember this and never forget it. God loves you so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. The Christian Worship Hour team, we all pray for you in the office, and we have a prayer team of over 40 people, and we're praying for you because we love you. And I want to tell you, I love you. I just wish I could make that decision for you, but I can't. You have to have Jesus and have heaven, or reject him and have a terrible future. So come to Jesus. And so next week, God bless you, everyone.
My dad loved to preach because it gave him the opportunity to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to learn more about having a personal relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, visit our website at cwh.org. You can stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view pastors' devotionals. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.